This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 164 of bookcareers.com live. As you can probably tell from the introduction music, it is business as usual at Book Careers, but I think it's fair to say that the stress and knock-on effect of replacing a simple but critical tool of work has taken its toll. So it seems appropriate in this episode to recap on the culture of overwork, which tends to follow our industry, especially after the past 2 years, where many of us have worked full on all the time. I last spoke about this in 2019, and of course, in the intervening time, although one or two companies might have allowed staff mental health days or some flexibility, our overall workplace culture has not improved, whether you are now working from home or returning to the office. The mental and physical health implications of working consistently long hours are well documented elsewhere. If you're an employer whose staff repeatedly leave because they are burnt out or they just can't take any more, then your business is in trouble. Aside from anything else, if you can't retain talented employees, you'll be frequently wasting money and resources on constantly recruiting and training new employees. If the publishing industry wants to attract and retain the best staff, we have to have a reputation for an excellent work-life balance. The results from the 2021 Book Careers Salary Survey emphasise this too, with many respondents talking about how their employer was treating them aside from salary. Work-life balance is an important part of any work and salary package. The usual things that people feel are causing overwork can be an emphasis of quality over quantity, where you're expected to cover long term when colleagues leave, where you might be constantly firefighting on deadlines rather than forward planning, and being what I call an email processor, where all you're doing is just sitting and processing emails, not an editor. And having internal systems constantly change, and add that to a culture where you are expected to stay working until the job is completed, regardless of the hour of the day. I've seen an increase in this pressure of working until the job is done as a direct result of working from home. You're at home, so you don't have to commute, and no one is noticing that you are still in the office because you're already at home. It's a negative culture which can escalate into burnout as well as work-related stress. So here are a few strategies. Now, when I give this advice, I give this as a person who knows what chronic overwork is, what it's like, and how when you ask for help, often it has been refused. I personally was in a chronic overwork situation, which I've spoken about many times before, and this overwork situation resulted in what can be described as life-changing consequences. To recap on how chronic the workload was, I was in a publishing job where usually I would start work sometime between 5 and 6 a.m. I'd arrive in the office for 8 a.m. I'd work through until 5 p.m. before grabbing a coffee with a colleague, arriving home before 7 p.m. and then working through until I dropped, usually around midnight or 1 a.m. As I was in sales, on days where I was seeing customers, I'd often leave home around 5:30 a.m. and lucky if I returned back before 7 p.m. If the trip involved Edinburgh or Dublin, it would be 10:30 p.m. and I'd be on my laptop for all of the travelling time. On top of this,
I'd end up working weekends, as most trade shows took place or started at the weekend, or else I'd be trying to play catch up. Now, I admit, I was my own worst enemy here, and I really became a car crash waiting to happen. I'm sure what I've just explained is a situation that will resonate for many of you. When you love your job, you're passionate about the work you do, you want to do more and you want to accept more responsibility. You particularly want to push for a promotion or pay rise. So you just take on more and more as you love being seen as the go-to person and you love being an integral part of the team. Yet often on reflection, the pay rise and promotion don't come forward. And the person who said no to everything gets promoted over you, you know, because they were where you were the person who was the efficient one, the organized and successful one. You've become a shadow of your former self. You're exhausted, you're frustrated, you might get agitated easily and maybe a little bit short-tempered both in and out of work. You might not be eating or sleeping properly. You probably can't think straight. You definitely forget things and you start working longer hours because you're missing deadlines and you're really scared because you just don't want to meet anything. And you get into this situation where you're just having conversations with the mirror at 3 a.m. And it seems no matter how much work you do, there is always more and more work to be done. Now, here is the resolution. I know that sounds hell, doesn't it? It was hell, but I didn't realise it was hell until on reflection. You know, and this is the trouble with overwork. Very often you just work and work and work. And it's not till you stop and you pause or you're somebody in your family or friends say, hey, why aren't you Swami seeing you? Why aren't you coming out? Or you just feel excessively tired that you realise that there's anything wrong. It really does creep up on you. So here are the resolutions. First, before you raise any of your heavy workload with anyone else, be totally honest with yourself. Is there anything you are doing that makes you an enabler of this extra workload? Are you working productively? Are you spending too long in the office chat log when you should be working? If you're back in the office and excited about seeing real people in person again, are you lingering in the kitchen chatting to colleagues when making coffee? Are you taking too long on Facebook or constantly checking on mobile when you should be working? Now, it's a well-known fact called the Pareto Principle that your work expands according to the time that you allow to complete it. So, is the fact you know you will work late or you know you have the evening or weekend to catch up making you less productive in the day because you're lingering over tasks you'd otherwise swiftly complete? I'm not saying that you are inefficient, but if you aim to speak to others about your heavy workload, ensure there is nothing else within your personal working practices that they can instantly jump on and knock you back with. The best way to approach this is to already have some simple solutions or low-cost approaches to fix things. Already have these in mind. They say you should always choose your battles, and this is one why you need to think clearly. And I'd recommend if you could only change one thing about your current job that would ease your workload, what would that one thing be? What would make the greatest difference to your workload? The easiest and often most expensive thing is to say more staff, particularly if several jobs have been merged into yours after redundancy. Yet you know that more staff will not instantly be forthcoming. However, if your workload is unmanageable after staff numbers have been cut, the company needs to know and the situation should be monitored. This is also the reason why working excessive hours to compensate for a lack of staff can be probably the worst thing you can do. How on earth will the company realise that they need more staff if you are always, always covering up the issues? When discussing the problems, it is often best to initially raise it during your regular catch-up with your line manager or whenever you are being given more tasks which you really do not have the time to complete, and write it on your to-do list or agenda so you don't shy away from the problem. Now, the vocabulary that you use is extremely important. You need to use words which are non-threatening and indicate that things can change. And the word currently is best for this. Also, change the possessive pronouns for these conversations. Use the words we, our, you, or refer to the team, the department. Don't make this personal with me, my, or I. This is because the manager needs to accept ownership of this and not you. That's why we, our, you, or the team is best. So when you're being given more work that you really don't have any time to do, for example, you might want to say, I'm working on this project, I don't have time to do this. What you really should say is, currently the priority is to complete on this project, which is due on this date. How do you see this new work fitting in with our current workload? And often when you're in a situation of work overload, you're told that the situation is only temporary or only for a few weeks. Then set a few firm date for it to be reviewed, and at the review date, make it clear that you do not have the capacity to continue in the same way. For example, you can challenge the few weeks mantra by saying, you said it would be only for a few weeks. It has been 3 weeks and it is already having a substantial effect on the publishing team's deadlines. Now, to do that, the resolve might be where you ask for a temp or extra staff resource. Now, if the issue is not being able to leave on time, particularly if you're back in the office or if you're working from home, switch off at a reasonable hour, then get a friend to phone your mobile at the time you want to finish. If you are in the office, talk to your friend on the phone whilst you're, yes, I'm putting on my coat, I'm out of the door now. It makes it look like you have something important to go to, which you do have, and that's going home. And it gives you focus to avoid any stares. And I'd say this is really, really important at this time. Don't take that culture of being the last one to leave the office back into the office after being away for so long. You have the opportunity here to set a new trend by always leaving on time. And liaise with your colleagues over this too, and see if several of you can all get up and leave at the same time. Now, if you're working from home, it surprisingly may feel harder to switch off as you'll leave your computer, go and sit in front of the TV and maybe dwell on whether to give the project another 30 minutes. Tempting as it is, do not do this. The later in the day you finish work, the more likely it is to impact on your sleep pattern and therefore your productivity the next day. For example, you might have seen on Twitter this week, I was asking advice about shifting the evening Book Careers weekly careers clinics. And going forward, in theory, you will see me working fewer evenings and not so late into the evenings either. This is to enable me to regulate my own hours and to reclaim some of this precious work-life balance that I'm always going on about. Now, if one of your problems is that your head is full of work issues when you finish for the day and you can't switch off, then write down what needs to be done. Give it some order so you know what tasks to tackle first and then switch off. Everything that I've read about work-related stress, and I can tell you I've read an awful lot, says that if you're carrying around work in your head, you'll find it impossible to switch off. So write things down, make lists, and then focus on yourself, not on work. If you have an employer that always holds meetings last thing in a day, or important authors phone you just as you're finishing for the day, then see if you can change their behaviour. What would happen if you had theatre tickets or had to attend a parents' evening? Would you allow these people to abuse your personal time, or would you say, sorry, I have to go? It may be that they don't want to change the time of the meeting, but if you constantly make yourself unavailable like this, and you've asked for the meeting to be brought forward to an earlier time, eventually they will have no option but to reschedule or ensure all the parts of the meeting that you are needed for are completed first during normal working hours. Work with colleagues too over this. I'm sure others want to stop the company culture of always starting exceptionally early or working excessively late. In some companies, it feels like a competition. Who started the day first, who sent the first email, and who was the last to finish? Now stop it. All of you, just stop it now. There should be no competition, or if there is, it should be who managed to complete all their work in the time that is allocated during a normal working week. Other simple cost solutions could be streamlining a simple system, asking for someone to do one extra task in a process rather than asking them to take on the whole job, or taking on a whole new member of staff, or allowing someone some quiet time during the day when no one interrupts anyone else so you can focus on some deep work and concentrate. And not the other thing is not being expected to answer every email immediately it comes in. Or you could ask, now so many people are hybrid working, that a day a week that is working from home is one where you do not get interruptions. I hope you find these remedies helpful. Whatever situation you find yourself in, remember it is solvable. If you need help solving it, do fix a time to talk to me in the bookcareers.com careers clinic, either book online at the Book Careers website, or my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. And please remember, no job is worth sacrificing your health for, and without your health, you have nothing. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers, or on Twitter at BookCareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.